to be here.
But, what day you want to change it to?
We are better to right now. We're gonna reschedule it for May 4th.
May 4th.
May
oh,
the 4th.
I don't think we can do
that's
the 4th.
That's oh, that's Mother's Day, huh?
That's a Mother's Tea.
That's a Mother. Okay. Then we will do
the next one.
May 11th.
All right, May 11th. It is. You know, spread the word. Don't tell anyone.
Your birthday.
Come on down.
Sure. Thea, your mom agrees.
Hey, you guys are a hard crowd. I thought I was going to try to get
come on.
Hi, Roger.
Come on down. I said spread the word. Don't tell anyone.
I heard it.
Okay.
I didn't hear that part.
Everybody heard it. I didn't see it. We also have a birthday. We're trying to be nice. Not in the list. We also have a
birthday. Gotta live the honesty in church.
Huh? All right, well, nobody knows. Oh, everybody knows except me, so we'll just wait till Thursday. Everyone.
No, he's still in Alabama. Or not in Alabama.
On Thursday.
He's in New Mexico, man.
Yeah, and then Matt's not going to be here because he left us.
He's still,
abandoned
he's
us.
Still on his way back.
Oh, man.
I said, why did you forsake me? Spoilers for what we might get into tonight.
Well, we're getting some good stuff, Dory. Bring it.
It's all good stuff.
That's right. Bring it. Our spirit and our cover to be it all.
Women's tea.
All right. Oh, yeah.
A council meeting on the
28th. 27th, we got something too. Men's and women's Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Or breakfast.
27th is
27th.
Men and women's.
Yeah. Did I say something else?
What?
No.
Okay. Did I say 27th?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, 27th it is.
28th, council meeting, May 4th. MVBS
I don't know.
To be dated.
Oh, yeah.
Leah, where are we at?
You know, it'll be fine.
15.
Okay, we're on March 15.
Yeah,
15,
then add one. Dang,
I thought we got a little further.
That's right. I remember now.
I was polite.
I don't think that's really where
they asked for Barney. Yeah.
15, where are 16. We, Jacob? Take us there. Tell us what's about and why we go there.
When the Romans.
How do you forget the book?
You found it.
I know it's first. I get it between
First Thessalonians.
First
John.
I see a lot. But no,
First Peter.
Corinthians 13:13.
Hey, there you go. You got it. Tell us what it says.
And these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Amen. Right. Why don't we say amen to that?
What are you going to say?
Quick. Why do we go there?
Many times these attributes are all in the Bible.
Yeah, in the Gospels we can see them being acted out, right, through Christ. Right? And he gives us an example of what we're supposed to be like.
I love his action word.
Both Jacobs forgot to pray in.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I can't take credit yet, Jerry.
Whoa.
Jerry called those out.
Good
call. Both Jacobs and the Georgia.
You know what it is, Jerry? We all got excited because the spirits here. I was hoping someone would.
That's
you know what it is? He lost his beard.
He lost his beard, so he lost his wisdom.
Oh, yeah, you do look a little
younger.
Okay.
Fatter.
We'll go with
fatter. Thinner. I feel a little fatter.
That's a good thing, though, because you want to gain weight, no?
It is. I think I have been gaining a little weight. It's nice. All right, let's pray in, right? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We hope that you open our ears and our mind, Lord, and our eyes so that we can see what you have in store for us tonight, Lord. Forgive us for our sins so that we may dwell with you in the presence of the Word, Lord. Bless the study ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. 16, right? 15, 16?
Yeah, 15, 16.
Of Mark.
Oh.
I remember because we covered
Barabbas?
Yeah.
Son of Man?
Barney.
Barabbas.
Release Barney.
Barabbas?
We got it. Release Barney. Any questions?
Any questions?
All right, hold on.
She knows.
Did any of you guys read ahead before we got here today? Anybody?
No, sorry. I've been in lawful and gambling.
Oh, man. I was hoping someone would want to help me.
Oh, so other than this table.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, praise God.
I'm like, so I'm sitting there like raising my hand over here.
Yeah,
no.
Probably is.
So did Mary. They read
the Bible. Yeah, I was just hoping, you know, they might. I was just seeing if someone had any questions. Freaked out Cyrus. Any like old revelations the Lord shared with them.
No, I usually stick to revelations for that one.
Any comments, questions, concerns?
All right. Well, let's get to it, huh? Verse 16.
That is,
here we go.
Me, I don't know
how to say it. Says, the soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
Well, the purple robe, purple was royalty in that day, so
they mocked him.
I think purple still represents royalty.
Yep. So that's what they were doing. It was like, you call yourself a king, you know, and so they mocked him. They, you know, put a crown on him, and you know, but it was a total mocking and a beating too.
That was a good one.
And he didn't call himself a king. Everybody else did.
He did say, "My kingdom is."
Indirectly said,
but that God was his
father.
Yeah.
They knew who he was.
What do you guys think about the crown of thorns?
The crown of thorns was just crown, like the worldly crown.
That's all they wanted to earn.
What is it symbolic of?
Oh, tell me.
I was asking you.
I swore you were going to drop some huge revelation.
Yeah, I was waiting.
I was super excited. Anybody have an idea? Maybe?
It reminds me of the parable of the sower.
All right.
Like getting caught up in the thorns.
Ooh.
So what would that represent then?
Well, that part of the parable is the spirit getting caught up by the world.
Mm-hmm.
And being slowed down and not being able to...
So you think it's like a... So what would the crown of thorns represent then? Like if you were to... So he's the king of something, right?
The sin was in that thorns, because that spike amp. Wouldn't that be like sin? No?
Maybe. I don't know.
You got it.
You want to
map? Come on, Matt.
You got anything to like back it up with?
Scared me.
No, I don't know. I was just
thinking.
Holy scared me.
You got anything?
What?
About the count of four?
In the Moses time, wasn't like there's a cross and there was a symbol?
The snake on the snake on the wood?
That's a pagan.
The pagan, right? Wouldn't that like
that? No, that was to heal the people, right?
To heal the people?
Look to the snake for healing, and that was a
symbolized the robe.
Symbolized Christ. Look to Christ for healing.
And it couldn't be also like the cross and the that symbol sin. Because snake sin.
It said it certainly represented the futile attempt to humiliate Jesus as the son of his right and kingship.
The crown of thorns?
Better talking
about
I'm trying to find a scripture for it.
You guys remember
being a king? This event instead demonstrated exactly who Jesus is. Jesus, King of Glory. I'm trying to find where we could get that.
You guys remember what affected Paul?
So that's okay. So I'm at Paul right now, and I just took me to his head, and I've been stuck on it. So hopefully that it is what it is.
All right.
But it was on Ezekiel.
Bring it to us.
It was Ezekiel 28:24, and it says, "There shall be no more a prickling barrier into the house of Israel."
Ezekiel 24.
Ezekiel. I like Ezekiel.
I just presented a question. I got a lot of response. I like it.
24 what?
28, 24.
Careful. Pride becomes a ball. Mm-hmm.
Boom, boom, boom.
I never watched Prideful. I always just thought it was really cool.
Excited about getting.
I know. What? I was just warning. I was just warning because usually when you get there, you just start to go up higher a little bit, and then you end up falling. Sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's not.
Pride's
not. No, it's not. Where are we at? 28, 24?
Yeah, yes.
Right before our fall. Alright,
go ahead. Officer, you have to find
No, then it's.
And there shall be no more a prickly barrier into the house of Israel, nor any grieving thorn of all that are round about them and despise them, and they shall know that I am Lord God. Does that have anything to do with it, by any chance? Because I was reading. And with Paul.
Oh.
And it's.
It kind of goes with it.
Yeah, and it says for the. Because I was reading 2 Corinthians 12:7, and it said, at least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation given me to me a thorn in the flesh. And then that took me to Ezekiel. So I don't know if that has anything to do with the.
What was the 2 Corinthians verse? Oh.
The thorn. The thorn, yeah. Three times he prayed to take it away.
What do you think that thorn represented?
My grace is
sufficient. That took me to Ezekiel, and I haven't been able to figure it out.
I got in Matthew 27. Matthew 27. 29.
That's not
about 28. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And then they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, and they knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail the King of the Jews. I guess it was a representation of his kingdom of the Jews.
Yeah.
All right, his so the thorns the represent?
Kingship.
The thorns.
The thorn?
The thorns on the crown. Like, you have the crown.
Right,
now,
we just
wrote now
what does
the thorn part of it represent?
So why is it a crown of thorns?
Or what the actual thorns represent.
Yeah, what do they represent? It's a crown of thorns, right? A crown means you're a king of something.
Well, tell us. Please tell us.
I don't want to tell you guys. I want you guys to, like,
oh,
you know.
Come on. Nope.
But
I want the Lord to tell you guys, you know?
I always had the idea that the crown of thorns represented the start of him taking on our sins before he just walked to the cross to give his life for us.
Yeah. All right, so like, how worthy reference that in scripture?
Joshua 23:13.
That's just what I thought.
Joshua 23:13 is kind of like on track with that too. It's another part of the reference from Ezekiel.
Okay.
It says 23:13. Yeah. It says, "Know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourge on your sides and thorns in your eyes, until which you perish from this God." Our good land, which the Lord your God has given you.
Oh, what is that? What's with that? Joshua what?
23.
That back is my statement up.
Is what I
another
wanted
prophecy.
To say.
This is Joshua there.
So what is it?
Yeah, what is the representation of it then? The actual thorn.
Think about it.
Dick.
Well, I could be wrong.
Well, no, but well, so what is your interpretation?
Because
you just said you could be wrong.
I could be wrong.
So, well, we want to hear it here. We want your take on it.
All right.
So, I feel like it's.
I like super, we're going.
I feel like it's super in line with what I was saying with the parable of the sower, right? It's about the world trapping the spirit,
right.
and keeping the spirit from the world, basically.
Right, trying to choke out.
Yeah.
Choke out the word, trying
mm-hmm.
to choke out the spirit. I absolutely agree.
Did you know the sin, sorrow, and hardship? Though?
Because also too, the mockery like of a wooden crown is almost like what we were talking about on Sunday with Paul seeing the idols as well. Like it's the whole joke of it all. Like they weren't taking, they didn't never took him seriously.
So was the purple robe then, like a mocking?
All right, here
symbol?
We go. So here's something it makes kind of
look
sense.
Look at you.
The thorn is the most.
Is that Alexa telling you that?
What? I'll find you a scripture. I'm just telling you what it says here, but I'll find the scripture for it.
This
is the definition of it. The thorn is one of the most ancient symbols in the world. Together with the rose, it represents pain and pleasure. And the thorn is an emblem of Christ's passion.
As
the crown of thorns.
The
thorn itself represents pain and pleasure.
The crown of passion something I heard growing up, like, okay, that just rang a bell.
That's why they titled the name The Passion of the Christ.
But like, how would that connect to scripture? You know, the passion.
I'm still looking for it.
Well, it was fulfilling the purpose.
I know you guys are waiting on what I'm thinking, but I want to keep this going. I don't want to just say it and
that's it. Yeah.
You know, I like how this is going. You know? That's why I was waiting on it.
Symbols in the world.
So
with the rose. Represent pain and pleasure.
So Paul mentions a thorn in his side plenty of times throughout the scriptures, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people speculate that thorn was when Stephen was being stoned, right? Which the represent is like that. It's that person.
The persecution that Paul inflicted on the church.
Right.
And that was what haunted him.
But it was like that person, that person that affected him, right? So, like, I always saw, like, the thorn being the people. So it was like the crown of people, right? You know, like the savior of the world, you know, kind of thing. That's how I've always.
But that's what we said earlier.
I could be wrong.
But also, it says here.
You were wrong.
And it says also the employed by Jesus captured both to cause him pain and to mock him and to mock his claim of authority.
Yeah.
So that's what the thorns are for?
I believe so. I'm trying to find the scripture that goes that ties into it.
I'm gonna need another
page.
I
don't think anybody's wrong, right? It's like what it makes us feel.
Oh, I'm on it.
Well,
I'm on it like a bloodhound.
There's like a real truth, though, right? Like,
here we go.
Pastor Memo.
No. I'm gonna dig it up myself.
That's asking for a cheat sheet.
You know me.
That's for a cheat sheet.
I'll dig and dig and dig.
Here's what Allie says. I was thinking it could be the crown of the world. And he was trading it. He was trading it for the heavenly crown. I was just contemplating the same thing. It's like, you know, the beginning of taking on the sins of the world. You know?
All right, I got you. Here we go.
Okay.
There you go.
Where are we at?
It's in 1 Corinthians.
Let's go.
1 Corinthians 9:25. It says here, everyone who competes in games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. That's what it represents.
Okay. He's talking about a crown, a certain crown.
It's in the scripture, though.
Right, but what crown is he talking about?
The crown is going to last forever.
Yeah, but, like, isn't that a specific crown? Hold on, let me get there. What was it?
No. Hear what it said.
When he talks about...
Hear what it said.
Sorry.
It says, everyone who competes in games goes into it strict, into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last.
Yeah. A medal.
But we do it to get a crown that will last forever.
Right.
The thorns represent everlasting life.
You see, here was what my thought was, okay?
Okay, your turn.
And I had to find the scripture to back it up with, too, because of what you kept saying. So what I thought was going back to the parable of the sower and the seeds, right? And when you're reading that, he tells us on verse 22 of Matthew 13, says, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it and make it unfruitful. Right?
That's a good one.
So
I think this is it.
It's talking about the things of this world. Mm-hmm. It's what they put on top of them, what the thorns were supposed to represent, was the things of this world, the deceitfulness, the pretty much all of the sins put onto
the crown
that he wore.
That?
Yeah, and then even went to death for it.
But what does that something say what the thorns represent?
It does say that's what it says. It says
the thorns choke.
The worries, of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it. That's what the thorns represented in that.
It's almost like what we say for what is it the as it is in heaven, right? Like the what happens
your
here.
Will be done.
Well, like what happens here happens in the spiritual world
oh,
and stuff
what?
Like that. It's like him literally being crowned.
Now,
spiritually, right?
Now,
Ali said, like how he died for us for our sins that we did, and when he's trading it for the sins of to being free,
mm-hmm. now,
trading those
now where
sins.
Are you at?
What I love,
I'm reading Ali's quote
was when I was reading this,
Ali
and I love that the trading
hey, Ali,
of the sins.
Are, go girl.
yeah, it's trading the beginning and taking on the sins.
Mm-hmm. That's what I saw when I. Read that as him, them putting that crown on was the beginning of taking
that's
those sins
said earlier, it
onto his body.
It denotes the sins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, but now when he goes into between the Father and he lays down a crown at the feet of the Father, what crown is he putting there?
Mm-hmm. Tell me.
In my mind, he was putting that crown of thorns still down at the Father's feet. Of an act of what he did is now at the Father's feet, and he's giving all glory back to the Lord.
Giving it back to the Lord, yeah. Giving,
okay.
everything
giving
him
back
to the
world,
Lord. Right?
But
yeah.
I got in Timothy 4:8.
Because he has the authority over the world
Timothy
4:8. Until he gives that crown back.
It has
exactly.
It actually has it. It represents
go,
both.
Like
it says,
this is it. I think this is it.
For physical training is of not is of some value, but godliness has value over all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come.
Yeah.
Where's
like,
that at?
No,
it's with what Jordan's saying.
Yeah,
where's
think,
that at?
I think
yeah,
we're
going with what you're saying.
I think that's it.
Because it's like what he's
trying to find out where he was
reading.
Timothy?
It's also in Timothy. Yeah, it's in Timothy
4:8. For the achievements in life, the achievements in this world are nothing. And we spend our life trying to be these people, or trying to get a high position, or trying to get an award, or first place in our game, or whatever. You know, it's all an achievement, right? But it's nothing. And it's all going to fall and be nothing. I mean, you can't even take those achievements and say, look what I did. I got first place. Like here's a good one I heard. Like this guy, they were talking about, oh, we should give attendance pins for church. Oh, look, I got 5 years of attendance. And the guy says, yeah, take that 5 year. Go show Paul your 5 year pin. And he's going to show you the scars and stuff that he endured for sharing the gospel. It's at least things in this life don't mean anything. What has meaning is the lives we touch for Christ, and it's laying down all that other stuff, because all that other stuff's choking it out. It is a crown of thorns. It is the briars, the thistles. It's gonna choke out the light that He gave us. He gave us to share, and that's why we're still here, and it's always gonna be our purpose.
Okay, I'm reading 2 Timothy, the 4,
verse 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
verse 8. Now that one, to me, is the crown of righteousness.
Right,
ooh,
which is
yeah, another one.
That is what it's saying, is the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing.
Right, and when we pass on to that next life, when we get to the judgment day, right, what does he have authority over?
Everything.
He has authority over the people, right?
Mm-hmm. Authority over everything.
And so he lays all of that authority.
So I got another one. It's James 1:12.
All right, let's go.
Blessed is the one who perseveres under
trial. Wait. Let us get there.
James,
well, I'll read it when you guys get there.
I was right.
James what?
James 1:12.
1:12. Okay.
Got it?
Are we there?
Are we there?
There it is.
When you're not there, you got to speed up.
Okay, James.
Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him.
Amen.
So is the crown of life and the crown of righteousness two different things, or are they the same thing?
I would say
yeah.
it's the same.
Well, yeah. Yeah. They fall together.
Yeah.
And when I was young in my walk, I used to think there were two different things. I think there was like four different crowns that are mentioned in the New Testament. I used to think they were all different. I think as I've gotten...
So I think basically all of them a reputation of learning.
Mm-hmm. And it's those crowns. We receive crowns for people we lead to Christ. And it's the crowns in the other life. Mm-hmm. And you know what? When we have those crowns, we ain't even going to feel worthy to wear them in front of him. We're going to lay our crowns down.
It says that we lay ours at Jesus' feet, and then Jesus takes his and lays his at the Father's feet.
And turns all authority back over to the Father when the last enemy, death, is defeated.
Wow. Which is like after the 1,000-year reign,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A new
after a 1,000-year reign, that's when the world body comes back out.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yep.
When the world body comes back out.
Yeah, there's some Christians that believe that we are living that right now.
What?
That, a 1,000-year.
At the end of the 1,000-year.
No, he's still locked up in the abyss right now.
Because we haven't heard the trumpet yet.
The 1,000-year reign.
I'm just saying that there are some Christians out
there. It's the reign of Christ when Christ is already here. That's when the 1,000-year reign starts.
Yeah, there's people who are dying who are like post-Revelation.
Yeah, there's a lot of different theories of rapture. There's pre, post, and mid-trib. But it's, you know what? Read it and find out, you know, because like
6 months to figure out which of every single version.
Just like
Second Thessalonians screams it to me.
You find out?
The last days, people think the last days, we're in the last days of the preacher. There was another thing that the last days started when Jesus was born.
There's a lot of stuff out there. Mm-hmm. They say it started when Israel became a nation again too. There's so much stuff, you know, and you can read into it. You can try and theorize, and you know, that's what people do and try and predict the people try and predict the date too. And you know, we have a saying too. It's like when anyone says that that this is going to be when the tribulation or when the rapture happens. You can know that it's not going to be that day, because no one knows. Yeah.
No one knows the day or the hour. It doesn't say the year. I'm just making a joke.
Well, I mean, even Enoch knew the year.
Yeah.
He named his son, didn't it?
Yeah.
It was Methuselah.
He still didn't know the day or the hour,
but
he knew the year.
When he died, the flood happened.
He's like, I theorize. My son dies.
But
that had to be a special
walk. The fact of it all is to I love the image of Paul talking about the thorn in his side. You know, the thorn, yeah, many people speculate. Some people speculate that it was a physical ailment. You know, they had bad knees, he had bad eyesight, you know, and probably a lot of damage to his physical being from being stoned to death and whipped and beaten. But yet, a lot of people believe that it's the suffering, you know, for what he did. Because he persecuted the church. He was going to Damascus to have Christians arrested. He took letters, you know, and he was there approving at Stephen's death, you know. And so in that, I believe that suffering's what drove him to try and do better, to try and... Because he knew he should know better if he knew, you know. But he counts all what he knew before as rubbish, because without Christ it is nothing. Without Christ, knowing all his law and stuff is nothing, because there is no salvation without Christ, and that's what Paul suffered, you know. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, you know, Jesus forgave us of our sins, but isn't there each one of us still something we carry, something we like are remorseful for, something that we wish we hadn't have done or could undo? But yet, you know what? We gotta let it go, because Christ forgave us for it, you know. And in that, use it to drive you. Use it to do better. Use it to remind you of what you've been forgiven of and where you came from, so that man, I'm not that person anymore. And then it starts to be like like Matt said it before, it's like it's just an odd like watch a movie. Who was that? You know, because you're not that person anymore. You know, I had a unique chance to start over. When I started going to church, I was having a problem at a job, and I just prayed about it. And just long story short, you know, I prayed, Lord, I don't know what. Just, Lord, just help me. You know, it was a month later, I started a new job. You know, an old boss called me out of the blue. But the way I bring this up is because I was trying to change my life at that point, and I got a fresh start at a new company with people that didn't know me, and so they didn't try and tell me the coarse jokes that I had been falling into all the time or all the junk. So I got a chance to just leave all that behind and not have people bringing it up, and a chance to shine. And it was a beautiful start, and I really thank God for that, because Through that, I was able to blossom into sharing with people. I went to customers and started sharing the word with them. You know, every service call I went, I started sharing with them all the time. And it was, you know, it wasn't deep. It was, you know, it started out just simple. You know, hey, isn't it a beautiful day? Yeah, look at what God made us. You know, some way to mention God. Some way to mention God in the conversation. And when you see people take that, use it like a fishing lure, right? When people take that, you can see their reaction. And when they do react in a positive way, it feeds you and inspires you to do more. You know, and that's where Paul was at with his walk, you know. He just used it to drive him. So that's what we gotta know, that God's working a work in our life, and he's not gonna stop till he completes it. It's not going to be a gravy train. It's not going to be a cakewalk. There's going to be hardships. Jesus said it. You will be persecuted. But trust that through that, God's working and working us. And through that, there's testimonies that come out of it that are going to save people's lives. We just need to persevere no matter what. No matter how deep it gets, no matter how bad it gets, we need to push. We need to push and shine the light. That's what this life's about, shining light. Shining light. That's why we're here.
When did the last day start? What do you mean?
When? When it says it was the last days, when did that start?
Like, when does the last day
start? When did it start? It started a long time ago. It's in the Bible.
Right, the last age?
The last days. When did it start? The last days, the last day.
When the Holy Spirit came down?
When did it come down? When did it pour upon us?
When Jesus rose,
that's when the last day started.
Oh yeah,
The end of the age.
A lot of people think it's starting. It's barely starting. It started when he right. dies and he rose.
We're in our birth pains right now.
Yeah.
It hasn't started yet. The labor hasn't started yet.
Yes. Mm. We're yeah exactly. So we're in the labor.
My
right
boss
now.
Called me.
Oh yeah, no, that's labor. Birth pains, Monday. Right?
Yeah, we were talking about.
Yeah.
We were supposed to talk about something at work, and he's like, "Dude, I almost called you on Saturday night. I thought the tribulation was starting because we heard all the new stuff on the news. And I was like, and then we had like almost like a 40-minute conversation with Ezekiel.
Oh, wow. Yep.
Yeah, you know, over it, because I was like, well, I don't know. Like, I've never really studied
that.
I've never cared for it.
I love it.
I never heard of this, but
right. You know, but we went over scripture, and I was like, well, maybe, you know, I think there's other things that got to happen first.
Right.
You know, like, I think, yeah, they could be retaliating, but I think if you're paying attention, I think they're about retaliating.
The whole world's gonna turn its back on Israel. The whole world. That includes, if we are still around, it includes us, you know. Maybe not us as individuals, but us as a country, us as a nation. So whoever's in power is going to, you know, turn against Israel. But it says the whole world will turn their back on her, and the whole world's going to attack from all sides. And when they do, God's going to directly intervene in that. He's going to thwart that attack. I'd have to dig and search to find that. I know it's in here.
Is this when like a figure of the Antichrist comes? World, kind of like this world peace effect, maybe one currency type of thing. Rebuilding
yeah.
of
oh, you mean MasterCard?
Oh.
Yeah, that's all over the world.
Is there like a temple that needs to be rebuilt?
The temple's going to be rebuilt. Look, here's
we are the temple.
Here's my perception of all this. Look, and you can read it in 2 Thessalonians. There is a 7-year peace treaty coming that's going to be a peace treaty with Israel. I believe part of the negotiations to bring that peace treaty in is, okay, we're going to rebuild your temple if, you know, and it's going to, you know, it's going to bring a 7-year peace treaty. The person that brings that treaty about is the Antichrist. He's not going to come into the power until the Bible says, until the one that withholds him is taken out. And that's believed to be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's holding him back now. But once the Holy Spirit's taken out of the world, how is the Holy Spirit in the world right now?
Through us,
because he lives in us. Right. Now, is he going to take his spirit away from us?
No.
The Bible promises, so we get taken out.
Yeah.
And when we get taken out, there's nothing to withhold this Antichrist to coming into power.
Right.
And he's going to be the deceiver. The world's going to be in turmoil when the believer get pulled out, right? And so he's going to have all the answers. He's going to bring a peace. People are going to be looking to him. Oh, look, here's our Savior. You know, he's going to bring in this peace treaty in a 7-year period. The timer starts at that point.
Do you think it's Trump?
No.
I wish.
Calm down, Jacob. I didn't tell this one earlier.
I'm joking.
I believe the Bible talks that he is going to come from the Middle East.
If you take out, I think it's one of the church letters, I think it's 1 John, he talks about that there's antichrists everywhere.
Yep.
And I think it's just when the appointed time comes, it's like whoever is holding more of it within themselves.
Yep.
And, so, and they'll be the ultimate symbol of it because they'll rise to power because they'll put him in power. Mm-hmm. You know? I don't think it's going to be like a specific symbol we see
right now.
It'll just be like when that time is appointed, that's when it'll come to that point.
People have been guessing for years.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's Tricky Bill. Oh, it's Bush. Oh, it's...
That's why I don't get into the end times, because you want to focus more on what we do as a body of Christ.
Right? Yeah.
We're here to not look for the Antichrist, but to get people ready.
Yeah.
And give their lives to the Lord. You know, we live in such a way that we live as examples that people want to live the same
right
way. And that's what we should focus on.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about hiding in our house and waiting for the Antichrist to come.
Ooh, look, it's happening. I see it. It's going to be tomorrow. No.
You know,
the eclipse is going to bring it on. The blood moons are going to bring
just,
it on. Oh, it's
I'm not saying it is.
The Aztec calendar. It's
yeah. You know, those are all fun things.
But you're right. I agree with what you're saying. It is in the Bible. When the Spirit's taken out, that's when God's body is taken out.
Yeah.
The body of Christ is taken out.
And so I believe we read a lot of turmoil, the seals being broken open, a lot of God's wrath being poured out on this world. And I believe that we're not going to be here for it.
Nope.
We're gonna go through a lot of stuff. There are gonna be sufferings. There are gonna be martyrs. There's gonna happening. It's happening all around us.
Yeah, I think it'll be a fun time. It'll look like, you know, 80-60 all over again, just on a bigger scale.
Like what?
80-60. When Nero rose to power.
Oh yeah.
You know, and like devastated the Christians and Rome.
There's some terrible persecution going on in the world right now. We don't see a lot of
it,
but it's
happening. Bad compared to some of the previous ones before.
Oh yeah,
there's a bishop that was just attacked yesterday. The bishop, Emmanuel Mariamar. You guys see? Well, he was the man pulled a knife on him and was trying to stab him during his sermon on life. But when he went to go like deflect the second swipe, his cross, because he put his hand up like that, his cross jammed his knife so it wouldn't reopen, so he just ended up hitting him with like the blunt end of it.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's awesome. God,
huh? Yeah, right?
We're gonna run around for more
really?
Sermons. You must have been a good sermon.
Yeah, right.
He's like, right,
really?
No, I didn't get to finish my sermon.
Yeah, did he get back up and finish it like Paul?
Orlando.
Yeah,
right. Orlando's fishing.
I'd like to
see
that.
Huh?
Orlando's fishing. He's doing.
Reel him back in. Let's get back.
All right. Back to it. All right. Any other questions on that section?
Yeah, like a million of them are earlier.
I'm pretty sure.
Here you go.
Oh, yeah. Back to Mark Paul.
Yeah,
what he said.
So now we know what the crown of thorns means.
It took us that long to do it.
No, now we know what the thorns mean, because we basically knew what the crown meant.
Yeah,
the
crown of
you're
thorns.
Right. But the now we know
thorns,
what the thorns.
We dug for. Into the thorns.
Yeah, that was a good study, huh?
I love that.
I enjoyed that. That was probably one of the best moments that we've had here.
Now we have 30 minutes left.
All right.
20.
We finished 20.
No, I leave us 30
no, we
minutes.
Have,
oh, no, I'm sorry. We're on 20. You're right.
No, he said we had 30 minutes left. I said 20.
Oh. 29.
You got to keep going backwards.
She's just making sure we don't go over.
So it'd be 19.
All right. You guys ever any questions about what they did to Jesus?
Negative.
No, it all makes sense. It's all
yes,
straightforward.
Sir.
Makes you cry your eyes out. Makes me cry.
I literally cry when I'm at home.
Yeah, damn, bro.
Trust me. I keep seeing them when
especially
they,
like
they crucified them and everything he went through, it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
You know, you could picture
him. Went through.
You could picture him enduring that and just looking you dead in the eyes and saying, I'm dealing this for you.
Oh, boy, I break down
dealing
like a little
this
kid.
For you.
Trust me.
And there's a saying, too, if we were the only person in the world, he would still have won.
He would still do this. Yep. Just like he's always talks about the shepherd. The one that got away.
Don't you chase after the one and leave the 99?
Yeah. Right. Why are you worried about the 99? Not worried about them. They're already good.
Do I have to touch everything?
All right, here we go. You guys ready for the next section?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, it says, a certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry his cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So you are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him.
That deep.
You know, it kind of reminds me of that, that epistle?
Which one?
The letter to Diognetus.
Oh, yeah.
When he talked about how the spirit is to the body compared to the Christian is compared to the world.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're trying to physically see him as a king.
You don't have
right.
a book with you, do you?
No, I don't. I'm going to write back right there the one day.
On my phone.
Chapter 6, if you find it.
Chapter 6.
Yeah. But it... In this letter, he's trying to convince a guy who's an idolater, because he's looking for the truth, that Christianity is the way to be, and he gives a worldly metaphor to understanding what the Christian is like, and the way the spirit is to the body, and how the Christian is to the world. It's the same. It's the same kind of metaphor.
Mm.
Because what I see here is that they're wanting him to come down from the cross because they know what comes next, right? If you read one of the Isaiah chapters. I don't know which one. I'm not gonna say it because I might be wrong. But I know it's in Isaiah. But it's about he comes as a lamb, and then he comes as a lion, or something like that, along those lines. And so they're seeing him as that lamb part, and they're wanting him to come down so that he can rule over Rome, because they know what's next, right? Because the ones who do believe, they think that he's going to rule over Rome, right? Put Rome in its place, and then they're going to rule the world, pretty much. So that's why they're hurling some of these insults. So they're trying to see him as a physical thing.
Mm-hmm.
You got it?
I'll read it.
Sure. Just listen to this. This is so beautiful.
This is the letter to Diognetus.
This is a
first century.
One of the letters that was written after the first. This guy who wrote this letter was like a disciple of the Lord, who was brought up with the original apostles.
Hmm.
He's like the next generation from the apostles, and he's writing a letter to this guy.
Where is it in the Bible?
Where is it in the Bible? It's not in the Bible, but. It's a description, it's a metaphor that he uses to convince. So it says, to sum it up in one word, what the soul is in the body, that is what Christians are in the world. The soul is dispersed through all body parts of all parts of the body, and Christians are scattered through all cities of the world. The soul lives in the body, yet is not of the body. Christians live in the world, yet are not of the world. The invisible soul is guarded by the visible body, so Christians are known to be in the world, but their godliness remains invisible. The flesh hates the soul and wars against it, even though it is not harmed, because it is prevented from enjoying pleasures. In the same way, the world hates the Christians. Though not wounded in any way, because they renounce pleasures, the soul loves the flesh that hates it, as well as its parts. Christians, in the same way, love those that hate them. The soul is imprisoned in the body, yet preserves that very body. Christians are confined in the world as in a prison, and yet they are preservers of the world. The immortal soul dwells in a mortal tabernacle, and Christians live as travelers in perishable bodies, looking for an imperishable home in the heavens. The soul becomes better when it is poorly provided food and drink. Similarly, the Christians, although subjected to punishment on a daily basis, keep increasing in number. And that's what they're not seeing here is that what the kingdom that was being brought to them that has not yet made it there yet, that Christ has been trying to show them, but they can't see because the veil's still over their eyes, is that it's not about what you can see. It's about what's within us, right? And that's what I see here is that these people are hurling insults at him, trying to see a physical thing,
mm-hmm.
when what Christ brought here was a spiritual thing, right?
It talks about, like, after the fact, like people that were there, the centurion that pierced his side, you know?
Oh, yeah, you gave his testimony?
Yeah.
It was true.
Yeah.
I read that on Easter?
These
or
people.
Or forgot Easter? Yeah, I forgot too.
But these people that were there right now, they want to believe, but you know, they're just, they want to believe in something. So then they're like, show us. Come down off the cross. You save others, save yourself. You know, let's see it. You know, and then we'll believe it, you know, but.
You adulterous generation.
Yeah. But the fact is, I believe most of them knew something in their hearts, and then when it happened, they saw signs, they saw wonders. You know, when he died, the sky grew dark, and the mountain split. There was an earthquake. You know, or the rocks split.
They
said, surely this was a righteous man. They knew.
Not the Jews.
Can you imagine the remorse?
That was the centurion that ended up saying that.
Oh, yeah.
Surely this was the Son of God.
I believe most of them standing there watching, witnessing this, that were hurling insults and stuff. They were all silenced and walked away remorseful. Just like Judas. Judas turned him in, and then he realized it, and he went and hanged himself. Just bearing that burden, bearing that guilt of what they did. But you know what? We were no better. We were no better. We knew at a point, and we still mocked, we still turned, we still, you know. But he doesn't hold that against us, and that's what's beautiful, because even up there he told them, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Which book is it?
Luke or John?
Are you pieces of them?
No.
On 29?
Okay.
29, so it's not the literal temple, huh?
Oh, what do you think of that?
Well, I just saw it. What he talks about, it's, I think he said, the body?
Okay.
Yeah.
So you think the temple's the body?
Yes.
Yeah, you're correct. It's what the... It's where the temple went. It's not a place anymore. It's within us, right? That's what Matt says all the time, right? The kingdom of heaven is within us. Because before, if you read the Old Testament, when they're running in the battlefield with the tabernacle in the middle of it, that's a representation of Christ being with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that was the previous age. Now we're in the new age where the tabernacle is within us,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a,
yeah.
He dwells within us now.
Yeah, but that also goes with you saying that it was literal to them, like the
right.
temples itself were gonna fall.
Right. They can only see with the veil on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Even the disciples didn't get the Spirit until after. He said, "Wait right here, as I ascend into heaven,
mm-hmm.
a gift will come down to you." Right.
I really like the Simon carrying the cross part. Like,
hey, what do you get from that?
Well, so just recently, like, Kathy was telling me that she was speaking to a lady at a conference over the weekend that literally, like, showed her an example the way that, like, Matt did with the stop sign with, you know, Paul and stuff like that, where she grabbed Kathy by the hand, left her shoes where they were, and, like, walked away and told her, like, we can go and get those shoes, right? Like, she's like, God leaves us to do the possible while he does the impossible,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so with that, it's like, it's not that Jesus couldn't do it, you know, like obviously all of these things that they were begging of him to do in front of him, like he's capable of doing it, you know, but it was the fact that like leaning on man or at least letting man help in that moment was more or less like part of the physical thing where it's like, okay, like, it, like, yeah, carry the cross, but like what I'm doing is going to be way heavier than that, you know,
yeah.
like this is fine, you know, kind of thing, basically. And I don't know, it kind of just speaks a lot, like, even in this world, like, even now today, like, we're called to carry our own cross, you
yeah.
know, and stuff
but
like
we're
that.
We're also
so.
Called to help other carry theirs.
Yeah, you got
to
understand the beating that was given.
But he already
did not carry that cross
of miracle, so why would he have to come off the cross? He already showed the world what he can do. And they still didn't believe it.
I wanted to read this whole section.
Mm-hmm.
So
go for it.
It's going to be a little bit of reading, but I'll be quick. It's in Luke. Exact same story, but more details.
Okay.
Luke 23, starting at 26.
The longest book of the gospel?
Probably.
It is.
I thought it was right.
23, 26?
I just have more chapters.
I
know.
Luke 23:26.
17 minutes, get your prayers in.
Like I said, I'll be quick. Alright. It says, still pages. Are we all there?
Go.
Alright.
I'm sorry,
it says,
like concentrating on what I'm reading about.
As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was put on. Oh, my nose is like about to sneeze. Who was on his way from the country, and they put him on. Sorry. They put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him.
Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren womb, blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that have never been nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when the tree is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place they called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, for if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults on him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly for what we are doing. For what we are getting by what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Sorry, I'm about to sneeze, but it's not coming out. So, the reason why I wanted to bring us there was, one, there's a lot more depth on things that were going on. But I wanted to go there because of the question and answer that the criminals had. You see two different types of people. Both of them hurled insults at him. That's what you read in Mark. Both of them hurled insults, but then you see one even changing his heart. He's like, he rebuked him and changed his heart and said, "No, he did nothing wrong. But we did stuff. We know we're here because of what we've done, but he's done nothing that deserves a punishment like this." And so they're sitting there talking like this, but he's like, "Remember me in your kingdom." And Jesus said, "No, you're going to be with me in paradise today." And so every time I read that, just it always makes me beg a question, is where's my heart at? Am I the one hurling insults at him, or am I the one asking him to remember me in his kingdom?
I like the picture that too, the thief on the cross, and this is brought up a lot because people talk about deathbed confessions and stuff, and that you got to go through a ritual, you got to go through this or that. This thief on the cross went through no such thing. He gave a heartfelt asking Jesus. Mm-hmm. And in that...
I don't know where you're at.
All right.
Been here for 20 years.
Matt.
Why, did you have something to add?
Hey, well, how you doing?
We're in Bible study.
Did you forget?
Oh,
here we go. You've been doing it for 20 years.
I thought you were watching and had something to add.
Oh,
man, I'll
let you go.
All right.
Love you, Matt.
Love you. I'll call you in a minute. Bye.
Yeah, finish up.
It's only the pastor.
But that thief on the cross didn't go get baptized. He didn't speak in tongues. He didn't even offer a sinner's prayer. You know, his heart. And that's, you know, I'm not knocking the sinner's prayer, because that's a guideline for us. Look, we gotta give it's gotta be a heartfelt. And that's what we try to get through when we say the sinner's prayer, is like, look, you need to be repentant. You need to know who he is. And you know, need to know what he's done for you. And you ask him to forgive you. And you ask him to come live in your heart. That's basically it. You know, and that's what this thief on the cross, it was heartfelt. And that's what it's all about. It's about surrendering your heart to God. You know, and it is that easy. There's a lot of stuff that comes after it. You know, baptism's outwardly saying, hey, this is what I did. This is who I am. I'm dying to myself. You know, it helps make us accountable to others. You know, there's a lot of stuff.
Don't be a hater.
Right? But there's a lot of stuff, you know what? And we're not knocking what other people go through. You know, some people need to have these rituals or whatever. But I'm just telling you, salvation is simple. Because look, here's the recipe, right? Not so much recipe, but look, God wants, his desire is that none would perish, that all would come to eternal life. And so if that's his desire, that everyone, then is he going to make it hard? He's going to make it simple. And so when you find that it's hard to understand, just think, wow, I'm making something out of this because God made it simple. And it's Christ. It's coming to Christ and getting to know him. That's what that thief on the cross did. And it is that simple.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we don't know.
All to know is to put ourselves up there,
right?
In his seat. So it's better that we just live as we should, and then when the day comes, we just party.
Yeah,
because everyone who's gonna be there is gonna be there,
right?
Yeah.
Raise the roof.
No need in saying, "Oh, this guy made it," or "This guy didn't." You know,
if you see,
we won't know until we get there.
And if you see people, yeah. And if you see people that's a brother that's claiming to be a Christian, and you see them doing something wrong, you know, there's a point. We need to be there for people, right? But if their ritual, if their way is a little different than ours, we just need to point them to the truth. It's not our job. It's not our job to beat them down. It's not our job to try and correct. It's our job to point them to Scripture, and the Holy Spirit convicts. The Holy Spirit shows people where they need to stop, what they need to clean up in their life. It's not our job, and it's their decision to make. Yep. But we need to be there for people and in love, and not beating people down.
I think it would be a little scary if it was our job.
Because you know what?
I wouldn't want that.
There's a lot of people beat people down about these days. And it's like, you know, I was talking to the nurse over at Kaiser. I was getting a blood test. Anyway, the lady was talking about how these kids are coming up, you know, and she's asking, what's her name? Oh, she doesn't go by that. She goes by they or them, you know. And she's like, no, I need to know your name because this is on record. What is her name? But then she was reading in the Bible, and you know what? The demons go by they and them. They don't go by a name. You know, the only one that did was Legion because there were many. But they go by they and them, and that's the demonizing of our society right now. It's... You know, God made people this or that.
Don't start on.
I'm going down the wrong path, huh? but it's powerful that demons go by they and them. You know, and Bible talks about this time. You know, they're going to be calling bad good and good bad. They're going to be twisting up everything that God's ordained, everything that God's made sacred, twisting it and contorting it and, you know, perverting it. But you know what? We gotta endure. And we gotta endure in love and not be beating people down. You know, I remember the day when believers were going and protesting the the abortion clinic, you know, and getting in bad fights and arguments and stuff, hate, you know, burning down abortion clinics, and that's not right. That's not a Christian. That's not love. You're not going to stop someone from going in there by yelling at them and screaming at them. You're going to do it by love. We need to be loving, and that's it. Love. Because ultimately, we're either going to drop people in or we're going to put a wall up there, you know, and putting the wall up's not going to help.
No, you got to leave the wall down and you got to make them want to be nice.
Yeah.
Just be nice to people, no matter who they are.
Show them Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Show them Christ, and that's it.
It's short, Jeremy.
You got 5 minutes.
That's how you pray.
That's still
all your time. Condensed it.
He condensed it.
Because he always eliminates things in there.
Roger.
I'm sorry, okay?
All right, but that's why I condensed it. My brother condensed it.
I was going to say, I have to also, I'm trying to please everybody.
No, I know. You know what I'm thinking. That's why I condensed it.
Oh, it's not a term
Thank
paper?
You.
No, that's going to be my testimony, term paper.
I can't wait.
Oh, not a good one. Never mind. I realized what you said. I was about to agree with them, and I was like, wait a second.
I said you didn't give him a term paper. I was like, please don't call me on. He'll give you one.
Thank you. For I love
them. All right. Anyone else have anything on those verses?
It was awesome.
Just that it was awesome?
It was the bomb.
I loved it.
What book do you guys want to do next?
Revelation.
Acts.
One of them.
All right.
Revelation.
All in favor.
Old Testament.
We're going to do this alphabetical. All in favor of the book of Acts? Raise your hand.
As long as it's
one, two, three.
Old
three.
Testament.
Three.
You can't be double dipping and have them come twice, right?
Going like
this.
Is
three. Everybody's shirt. This is everybody's shirt, so everybody's looking to vote.
Three.
What's it called? All right, the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. One. I'm only going to get one.
Okay.
I
want
to get one. Right, I want to get one. I want to get one.
Should we put it up and put it back down?
How many we got? Revelation? We got one, two, three, four. Okay, looks like Revelation works.
Huh?
Do you not like the Democratic vote?
Ooh.
Should we do this Republican?
Huh? No.
No.
Yeah, just put it in a booth. Put it in a box.
He was making a joke. He said Democrat. Because both of them are going to be the same way.
Just put it in a ballot box. I'll change it.
It's a form of voting.
So
democratically,
Revelation 1.
I vote. Yes.
I love Revelation.
Like the argument say, once you know.
I'm trying.
My allegiance is to the Republic. To democracy.
Democracy.
So.
It's sad what I'm seeing.
Alright. If we do the book of Revelation.
I didn't raise my hand.
Go ahead.
I'll
raise
it.
All right.
You got
I'm
four votes.
I want.
Mikey said Axe.
I want every.
Yeah.
I want
so
every
I think there's another two.
Body
so it's like five.
Yeah. Well, we all look into it because I personally have never like deep studied Revelation, so I'm gonna need help.
Good for you.
I got you.
Then you don't watch the end of a movie and then watch the beginning out.
I've dug into that book a little bit. So
I've dug into it a little bit. Like I've went through the theories on how people believe, and you know I've done that stuff, but
because the old
I've never went into like
there.
What
That's
the dragon
reason.
Is or what the lady is. Like I've
the
never.
The lady is Mary.
You know who really?
Memo's
the one.
Yeah.
Memo.
So, I kind of
like what we did today is like
doing,
perfect. If we do that every single time,
like,
what does this mean?
No.
What does that mean?
Yep.
Then it's gonna be a really fun study.
Yep.
I just love to see you so excited. I don't even care.
She's like, if we have that in Revelation, I'll be happy.
I love digging though. I love digging too.
That was awesome when we did that.
Just keep bringing Sloan.
She'll be here. And Ali will be here.
She's still more with us.
Online. In the spirit.
Bring it in.
It happens.
Let her talk over my
phone. I'll bring the whole.
Ooh, I second right. that.
I mean,
so.
Hold on, pray for Tina's MRI results.
That's what I was gonna ask. So, even better. Someone brought it up.
The doctor's
appointment.
So
Tina.
They got
kids.
Sorry, Tina.
Oh, no, no.
So you have Dr. Roger on here? Doc.
I gotta hear it.
Okay.
Any others? I already got yours.
I feel crazy.
You're supposed to cherish her, not object.
You're only slightly obsessed with it.
Or, by the way, the workday has been moved up to 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I put it at 8, but nobody will be here at 8.
I'll be here at 8. That's late for me.
I've got it from previous experience. That one rolls in at 9 anyway.
5 o'clock.
Oh, but let's keep it until I'm rolling at 9.
No, I better not be at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Midnight, 10 a.m.
She went into labor.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Right.
That's right.
That is good.
I didn't even think
so
about that.
What's the date for the work day?
11,
May 11th and 9th.
Well, and then he drove you down.
It's for paid labor, you know?
All right. Any others? I got that one. Orlando got it, actually.
Huh? My head is getting really bad, too.
Nick, your interview?
Mm-hmm.
Your interviews and stuff?
School. Attitude, personality.
School and kid.
She said it.
Bless you.
I didn't know she was yawning.
She's ignoring me tonight.
She slept.
Nick. He's missed all my jokes.
She sneezed. She moved on away.
I'll repeat them on Thursday later.
Oh, Thursday?
Any others?
See, can you be in a
place? No, you didn't have any. That was an echo. You're really funny. I'm sorry, you got me. So I talked a lot of stuff, is what you're saying?
No. We all go through moments.
Sorry. Okay.
I just have my testing for like good luck on my testing.
You feel confident about it?
You need more prayer for testing.
Nervous, but I feel confident.
How come?
Like humbly confident. Those two things usually don't go together.
Yeah, well, I love it.
Yeah, if we do Revelation, everyone needs to read. Everyone needs to pray before they read. And get the revelation, because that's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
A revelation from Jesus.
She farting on me.
And if you guys want to, read the end of Daniel. Because when the vision is caught up.
And 2 Thessalonians.
Oh, 2 Thessalonians.
Yeah,
but no,
like,
the end of Daniel,
so like,
I get what he's
chapter
saying.
4. And the end of Daniel, it's like right into it. It goes right into it. Because like Daniel's like, well, no one can open that scroll. And then he's like, what does that even mean? He's like, don't worry about it. It's not for your time. You know what I mean? And then you get into chapter 4 of Revelation. John gets caught up, and he's like, what's going on? There's so many people here. There's so many things here. There's elders. Oh no, there's a scroll, no one can open it, who can do this? And the elder comes over to, bro, you know, come on, bro. I'm like, you know.
Christ is the only one able to open it.
And then Christ comes out from behind the throne, and he's like, boom, goes over there and he starts opening the scroll, you know what I mean?
He has that going on too, it doesn't say it, but it's there. It's boom.
There's a theme song going on, yeah.
I'd be laughing if there was, like, that type of music going in the background, man.
John probably was like, what is this? Lord, forgive us, I'm sorry.
Horrible.
It's funny.
Negativity.
God, I know God has a sense of humor. You want to know why? Because he made me.
Well, you got a point there.
It's a joke. I've heard that joke.
Is she the green? Is she the yep?
Yep.
trying in baseball.
You can meet baby holding legends.
Okay.
Yeah. Jacob, I can tell you you're a new dad.
Got support.
Not too much. No.
She just burped.
Sorry.
It's good to get one of them crop diapers and you throw it on your shoulder.
Oh, yeah, Drew, it was so funny. Jacob.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
Okay.
Dude, like, everyone in the room saw it. Right.
You'll get better by the second one.
Just help me around the inside.
A binky.
All right. We're all ready to pray. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I got distracted by a baby over here.
What?
Alright.
Yep.
I'm not good at this.
You will get.
There we go.
Hold my hand, we gotta pray.
All right.
There you go.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for everything that you're doing here, Lord, in our lives and every aspect of this church, Lord, with the people and the just everything, Lord. We thank you for it all, Lord. We ask that you would just continue to work through this church, Lord. Continue working through each and every person, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you would just keep getting distracted. We ask that you would have your hand over Roger, Lord, and just, Lord, be with him and be with him and help him with that disability, Judge, Lord. We ask that you would just help him with getting there, Lord, because I know he's still waiting. He's still in that moment of waiting, Lord. We ask that you would just help him with that, Lord. Help him to get that meeting with that judge soon, Father, so that he could get the help he needs, Lord. And we ask that you would just have your hand over him to be getting the things he needs, Lord. We ask that you would have your hand over over Tina's MRI results, Lord. Be with her, Lord. Help her to help everything to be clear, Lord, that they don't find anything wrong, Lord. That it's just all corrected. I think of what you did in Memo, Lord. Just healed his kidneys. I think the same for her, Lord, that it was already healed and that they'll find nothing, Lord. That's unremarkable results, Lord. We ask that over him. For her, I mean, sorry. And we also ask that you would continue healing Memo, Lord. Continue being in his life. Continue healing him and giving them that joy every time he sees something healed about him, Lord. It's just amazing, Lord. We just ask this in your name, Lord. We ask that you would have your hand over Allie's doctor appointment, Lord, and help everything to go well, Lord. Help her to be clean, Lord, and that everything's going as it should, Lord. That she's completely healthy, Lord. We ask your hand over Nick and his interviews, Lord, and the schooling. We ask that you would just be with him, help him to have your favor upon him, Lord. Help the job that he's supposed to have come straight into his lap and that they have favor upon him, Lord, that they see that this job would suit him, Lord. Just have your hand over his life, Lord. We ask your hand over safe travels for Jerry's sister, Lord. We ask that she would get home safely, Lord, that she would enjoy the trip, that it would just be a safe time, Lord, that it'd be quick, and when she gets home, that she would be just happy, Lord. Help her to have enjoyed her time here, Lord.
Amen.
Just be with her, Lord. And Lord, we ask your hand over Cyrus and his testing, Lord. We ask that you would just continue being with him. He said he feels confident about it, Lord. We just ask that you would continue with that confidence, Lord, that he would have the knowledge and understanding of what he's already been taught, Lord, and that you would just provide the knowledge for him, Lord. Help him to remember those things that he's already studied, that he's already learned, Lord, and that he would apply it during these testing times, Lord. And Lord, we ask your hand over Mary Jane, Lord, to shake this head cold, Lord. I'm sorry, this cold period, Lord. And help her just be fully healed, Lord. Her sinuses, her chest, her all of it, Lord. Just all of it to be removed from her, Lord, so that she could be here in entirety, Lord. Not stuffed up, not congested, not anything, Lord. No infections, no nothing. Just fully here with the joy and energy that she brings, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you would also have your hand over Jackie and remove the cough from her, Lord. Help her to have her lungs filled to where there is no cough, Lord. It's just fully healed, Lord. We ask this in your name, Lord. We ask your hand over my brother and his hearing tomorrow, Lord. Help him to have your favor, Lord. Help everything to go according to your will, that everything would just go well, Lord. That's what we're asking, Lord, that everything would go well and that he would get everything he needs, Lord. And Lord, we do continue asking your hand over CJ, Lord. We had a great report that he doesn't have autism. So that's a blessing, Lord, from you. And we just ask that you would continue having your hand over him, help him to have a loose tongue to speak, Lord. Just be with him during these times, Lord. Help him to have your hand over his life, Lord, and over his family's life, Lord. And Lord, we also ask your hand over the entire church, Lord. Just continue being in this church, Lord. Continue working through us. Continue working in us, Lord. You know everything that we need, Lord. And you know everything that needs to be done, Lord. And we ask that you would just continue providing the needs of this church, Lord, spiritually, physically, mentally. Help us all just to be in your will, Lord. And we ask that you have your hand over over Leah, Lord. And just help her, Lord. Whatever she's going through, whatever she's dealing with, whatever's going on in her life, Lord, just be with her, Lord. Help her, Lord, and give her the strength that she needs through you, Lord. Help her to feel your spirit at all times, Lord, and to be full of you, Lord. And Lord, bring unity to not just this church, but every church, Lord.
Amen.
That all of us would be unified under one spirit that is you, Lord, that you call us to be, Lord. Help us to get rid of the religions and our own thoughts, our own beliefs, Lord, that we would just cling to you, Lord, mm-hmm. cling to what you say, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Help there be one church, which is you, Lord. Help this come about in your will, Lord. And help us just seek you more and to find you, Lord. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.